No.
She's on, it's on. Okay. She said she's ready. Okay, so, I apologize in advance. We may not get past the first verse because it is just so rich, and it is treasure trove of oh, man, just wonderfulness, you know. It's really, really good. So, Pastor, you want to start us off?
Sure. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come into your presence right now, Lord.
Yes, we do.
We ask you that by your sweet Holy Spirit, that you would just teach us today and give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say. And Father, we give you all praise and glory for everything you do in this class. And we just ask you that even as this message goes out over the airwaves on the computers, that Father, it will just minister to hearts and touch many lives. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you all praise, all glory, and all honor for everything that you do in the name above all names. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Yes.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to start in Psalm 71, and we probably won't get past the first verse today.
Are we doing 71?
71.
Well,
70 was last
I
week.
70.
I know.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, but it made me cry.
Yeah. Okay, Julie, why don't you go ahead and read the first verse?
Which version?
You can read this one in King James.
In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Okay. In the NASB, it says, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In the expanded Bible, it says, in you, Lord, is my protection. I find refuge. Never let me be ashamed. What's it saying in the? Oh, I'll wait till you get a bite of donut there and ask you to read.
In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion.
Okay. All right, so I read this when Oscar asked me to take 71. I read this last Sunday, and I went, wow. Before I even start breaking it down, the Lord had already spoken to me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
Yes, yes.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Oh, I mean, every day, in the middle of the night. Well, I looked it up. It was on the internet. I thought this was just an old Wing song that someone at Wings had put together. You know, some of those, we have unique songs that someone wrote just for Wings. But this one is a pretty well-known hymn, but I didn't know there were tons of other verses.
There are.
I didn't know that, so I just wanted to kind of read through some of these other verses, and just because it, you know, of course it all fits. It says, I'm just going to read the line, mm-hmm. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed.
Yes.
Show me thy ways, teach me thy paths, remember not the sins of my youth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. What man is he that feareth the Lord? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. O keep my soul and deliver me. I'm at verse 9 right now. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles. And I love that because whenever you talk about a nation or something, they use the female gender. So what they're saying here is New Jerusalem, sons of God, you know, redeem the sons of God out of all his his troubles. So I just thought, I really like that they use the pronoun his instead of her, because whenever you refer to a nation, you're usually referred to as her. That word in Theo Lord, the word Lord there is Jehovah. And that is the existing one, the eternal, the immutable, and it's the proper name of the one true God. And I'm going to not necessarily take exception to that, but I am going to, you know, I just feel that this is a good time to talk about this. And that is, there is only one name that's above all names. There's only one name that's above all names. And who's that?
It's Jesus Christ.
You know, some baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, there's really only one name that is above all names. And that is Jesus. That is a name, okay? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are designations, okay? They're not proper names, really. If God walked in right this second, if he walked right in and sat right next to Mike, how would you address him? I'd address him, hey Jesus, how you doing? Right? Or would you say, oh, hi God, you know? I mean, that's, you know, that God's just kind of showing me that it's all about Jesus, you know? And that's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. You can baptize, you can cover it all, say Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and his son Jesus, whatever. But it's a designation. I know it sounds like I'm splitting hairs, but the word designation means the choosing and naming of someone to be the holder of an official position, a name, description, or title. Okay? It's a position. So, going through that, you know, like Oscar's the pastor, our pastor. Okay, down at the Nazarene Church, he's Oscar. You know, Mike's was at one time a son. Your parents are deceased right now. Mm-hmm. So you were a son. You're still a father. You're a grandfather. You're a friend. You're, you know, co-worker. Those are all designations.
Husband.
Oh, the most important. I have it written down here.
That's the most important
first. Boy, did you screw up?
I had it down here, and I was looking up from my notes. You got to stick to my notes. I'm surprised Julie didn't chime in.
Kathy Owens, that's one.
But I was also reminded of that song, Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. And then it goes on to describe the designation of who he is. Master, Savior, Jesus. So in this verse that we're reading up there, the first thing we need to know is, who are we trusting? If we're trusting in the Lord, in God, you know, we need to really know him. You know, how can you trust your spouse? How can you trust anybody until you get to know them? And know them well, know them intimately, and have relationship with them. You know, that's why I think the Lord gave us marriage, because there's no more intimacy than marriage, whether it be spiritually, personally, physically, every aspect of us is involved in marriage, becoming one when you get married. So, you know, when it all comes down to it, it's that, it's a lifestyle. It's not going to church on Sunday and reading the Bible a couple times. It's every aspect of our life.
Yes.
And when we do that, and I'm going to get into some things in a little bit, that talking about being in Christ and us in him, then there's that relationship, that oneness, you know, and wow, how exciting is this? You know, when you see him as he is, you will be like him. Father, make them one as you and I are one.
Yes.
Then you can trust and really trust.
Yes.
But until then, it's like this, so there's people out there because they're either just starting their walk or whatever, that the fear is not the proper fear. It's not a reverence and an awe. It's like, ooh, if I don't do something, he's going to smack me down, you know. And there are people that live their life like that, believe it or not. Okay, let's talk about this word trust.
Can I say one thing?
Sure, yeah.
On that word Jehovah there, the word Lord there is translated, it's actually the word Jehovah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play this for you. This is the pronunciation of that.
In Jehovah.
And who? Women, listen to it.
Jehovah Adonai.
Adonai. Yeah. They always throw that in there, you know.
That's good.
And it'll say Jehovah Elohim. Those are all aspects of his personality, of who and what God is. And when you realize that, like last week when I did Psalm 70, it said Jehovah Elohim. See? And he is the creator. And what does it say up in the beginning of the Gospel of John concerning Jesus? All things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was light, and the light, you know, is the life of men, you know, and so forth, and shines in darkness. But anyway, he is the creator. And see, and that's where a lot of people have a problem, because of all of the different names that were given to God. But these weren't names, these were attributes of his character.
That's it.
Who and what he was, you know. But he and the Hebrew Christians called Jesus Yeshua, which is God the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So yeah, that fits exactly in with what he was showing me, that there, all these are attributes.
Right.
That's the right word. And Jesus, the Christ even, is Jesus the Anointed One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they all describe God. And that's what's really neat. Okay, anybody else have anything? Okay, let's get into that word trust. And it's pretty simple. Seek refuge, flee for protection, confide or hope in God. And I just took all that and said, going within. You know, when things approach us and things hit us and trials, tribulations, problems, whatever, man, if we could just first, before we do anything, go within. I mean, I had one of those weeks this week, and that's why I think God's taken me down this rabbit trail. It's for me more than, or, you know, maybe it's for you too, but it was definitely for me. And that is, you know, I mean, you have those weeks where you're hit from all angles, and, you know, and it's like I started actually getting a sense of hopelessness, like this thing wasn't going to get resolved. And I went, whoa, stop. This is wrong, man. I can't be thinking. And then I started going within. But then, yeah, those fiery darts kept coming all week long. Then I got sick. Went to the doctor on Friday. Which I can tell you one thing. I walked out of work at 3 o'clock to go to the doctor. Between 2 and 3, everything had been resolved on Friday. I walked in on Monday, and it just started to happen. Boom, boom, boom. And then by Friday at 2 o'clock, I walked out at 3 o'clock, it had all gotten resolved, every bit of it. And I mean, it's just amazing. It's just a wonderful illustration of who God is and who he is to us and how much he loves us and all that. But
timing.
Yeah, time. Yes. Oh, that's exactly time. Right. He's an 11th hour God.
Yes.
He'll wait sometimes till the 11th hour before he moves on a situation.
Yes.
And yeah, that's exactly right.
4 days late, but he's still on time.
That's
right. Yeah. Right. 4 days late for us.
Yeah.
In our time.
Yeah, but he is blessed to be.
Yep.
Yes, Lord.
Okay, you can see that that word confusion is in the King James and Amplified, but in a lot of the other ones, it's shame, ashamed, stuff like that. But let's take that word confusion, because it all means, it all comes back around to that. It says, put to shame, be ashamed, be disconcerted, be disappointed, to fail in hope and expectation, to put one to shame, especially on account of frustrated endeavors. Man, did we all experience some of that this week?
Yes, Lord.
I know I did.
Yes.
Whew, man.
Yes.
So look, let's look at that. Confusion, of course, God's not the author of confusion, but you got confusion and you got trust. And they're like polar opposites. Because if you're going to allow yourself to remain in confusion and in shame and whatever, God's not the author of confusion. So whenever you feel like you're in that situation, that's when you have to go within and say, okay, Lord, this isn't right. I lost my peace. I lost my joy. I lost all these things. I want it all back, you know. You know, God does not want us to be ashamed, does not want us to be in confusion, does not want any of this. Shame, I looked it up in just the dictionary. Shame is a negative, painful, social emotion that can be seen as, it can be seen. Can you get that? You can see it on someone's face, can't you? From comparison of self's action with the self's standards. Do you get that? That's where we get in trouble. Okay? You know, our actions, self, because we have a certain standard that we believe everybody, not just us, but everybody should live by that standard, right? And that's setting yourself up, man, I'm telling you. You're just setting yourself up. So I'll read it again. From comparison of self's action with the self standards. Okay? All right. Yes?
Yeah, the funny thing about that is it's all self.
It's all self. That's exactly right. You
neither
would never
wrong.
Be shame, yeah. In shame if you it wasn't self.
Because self is the thing that has to die. I was thinking about how Paul said, those things which I do, should do, I don't do, those things that I shouldn't do, I do them all the time. Oh, wretched man that I am. But then he says, who can deliver me? I thank God that Jesus Christ can deliver
yes.
me. And that's what we need to focus on. Not judging either,
mm-hmm.
but relying on Jesus.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And realizing that it's already been done.
Yep. Finished work.
All we have to do is declare the victory.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stop working, that's when God starts. When we give it up, when we quit,
yes.
just quit. So that's it. Then God takes over.
Come to the end of yourself.
That's it. Lord, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Eddie's favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, he sang that every Sunday.
Yep. Okay, it goes on to say, embarrassment, dishonor, disgrace, inadequacy. Anybody ever be insecure?
All of the above.
Inadequacy, humiliation, and chagrin. And then the word ashamed, it says embarrassed or guilty because of one's actions, characteristics, or associations, reluctant to do something through fear of embarrassment or humiliation. I wasn't quite like Oscar, but I know I tried to avoid in college public speaking class. Did not want to do it. I was scared. I was terrified. You know, and just like Oscar, you didn't see yourself getting up and speaking to groups or whatever.
Radio program, things like that.
God is good. That's all you can say all the time. But okay, so I just, everybody think for a second, an embarrassing moment. where you embarrass yourself. And most of the time, when you embarrass yourself, you don't do it intentionally. Right?
No.
You do it. Okay, here's an example. When Julie and I were first getting together, we went to this restaurant. And I saw this lady that I graduated from high school with at the restaurant. And she was with, I don't know what women do, but she colored her hair and had makeup on. And this other lady was, looked quite a bit older. And I said, her name was Chris. I said, oh, hi, Chris, how you doing? She said, oh, hi, how you been? I said, oh, is this your mother?
First thing you ever say to a woman. Yeah! You never want to say that, buddy.
I mean,
that's a no-no.
It was her sister. I mean, thank God I don't see these people a couple times since I graduated from high school, but I mean, it was her sister. I felt, it still bothers me. You know, I've given it to the Lord, but still, I made that woman feel bad.
Yeah.
And there was no intent at all in that.
I'm going to say one other thing. You never want to say to a woman, is that your mother? Or you never want to say to a woman, are you pregnant?
Yeah.
Never say that. Never. Take that, men. It's a word of advice.
Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, and if the wife says, do I look fat in this, you go,
No, you look awesome.
Okay, we're having too much fun.
That's all right.
A couple weeks ago when I spoke, I love this scripture and I really got a lot out of it. It says, this is good news, you know, because you realize what Jesus did in this scripture, and that's at Hebrews 12:2. Can you see if you can find that in my notes?
Yeah.
But it says, looking unto Jesus. That's what we got to do. We got to continue. When all this stuff comes in, floods in, we got to keep our eye on Jesus. Yes. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And the author means the beginning. You know, when you author a book, you have to start and author it. You have to put the title on it and put the whatever, table of contents or whatever. But the word finisher is, and it only appears once in the Bible. That's what's amazing. That word finisher only appears once. A perfecter to carry through completely, bring to an end.
That's great.
Full age, mature. This is what he's going to do to our faith. And you can see it. You can see the progress. Where you were 20 years ago, where you are now. Where you were 10 years ago, where you are now. Where you were 5 years ago, where you are. He's perfecting us. He's bringing us, it's already been done, but we have to walk it out, you know. Right there's the promise. He will complete that which he began in us. There's a promise that we are going to get through this, and we are going to be full-aged and mature. Okay, it's going to happen. But I love how it goes on to say this. For the joy that was set before him, the joy of what he saw in us, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Nobody on earth was put to shame more than him.
Yes.
Nobody ever experienced more shame than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But the good news is he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And seating is a place of rest.
Yes.
We're not laboring when we're sitting. I mean, we may be on a computer or something, but we're not laboring. And I love how it says in the expanded Bible, it says, let us look only to keeping our eyes on Jesus, the one who began, the pioneer, the founder of and the leader and the prince of our faith, and who makes it perfect, completes it. He suffered death on and endured the cross, accepting the shame as if it were nothing. Wow. Disregarding, despising that shame because of the joy that God had put before, laid ahead of for him. And now he is sitting at the right side hand of God's throne. So when you find yourself in times of trouble, uneasiness, hopelessness, sickness, embarrassment, uncertainty, confusion, shame, lacking peace, terror, and fear, we need to know who we're trusting to protect us, to sustain us, and to put us back on the straight and narrow path.
You're going to turn me into Alberta in a second.
Whoa!
that doesn't get you happy.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Yes.
Matthew 7:14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. But I believe this group of people right here fit this next part. It says, there are few that will find it. Isn't that something? There's only going to be a few that's going to find that. Just like that when talking about climbing that mountain 2 weeks ago, he was passing people by because some are called, you know, but some are chosen. It's many are called and few are chosen. And the higher you go, the lonelier it gets, but the more glorious it is. I think we could stop here for any comments. I think that, I just wanted to take that word straight. You know, when I was first a Christian, I heard someone say that, and I went, straight, meaning a straight line. That's not what the word means. Straight means to stand, to be steadfast mind, be of a steadfast mind, of quality, one who does not hesitate and does not waver, to stand ready and prepared. And then I like this. The one who vanquishes his adversaries and holds the ground. The battle belongs to the Lord. And the only way you're going to ever vanquish your adversaries and hold the ground is through his strength. It's not going to be through your strength. And the narrow, I like this, narrow. Let me stop there. Anybody have any comments or anything? Because the next thing I want to get into is going to take it, the word narrow. But I'm going to wait and do that.
The only thing that I was wanting to say is, you know, that word confusion. The word declares that God is not the author of confusion. Yeah. So anytime you find yourself in a place of confusion, God didn't put you there. You put yourself there. But he can come in like a flood and give you the peace, and he can help bring you out of confusion. And the word even Babylon, which we know Babylon is the word confusion. You know, so spiritual Babylon out there is in confusion. And people wonder sometimes why the church, you know, in general out there can't seem to get together. Because they're in a place of confusion. Because they're too worried about their own little cliques and doctrines and everything, rather than acknowledging Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, looking at everyone who's given their life to him as brothers and sisters. I've had people say to me stuff about Armageddon and about this and about that, and I thought, I'm not concerned about all that. I said, you're my brother, you're my sister. I said, you love Jesus Christ? Have you given your life to him? That's all that really matters. All that other stuff will take care of itself. If God wants you to understand all that, he'll open it up to you. But that's not what it takes to be saved. That has nothing to do with being saved. Being saved is just acknowledging him. He's not the author of confusion. So when you find yourself in a place of confusion, what you need to do is confess that you're in confusion to the Lord and say, Lord, you show me the way you want me to go. You teach me the way you want me to go. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do sometimes because we want to go our way. We want to do it our way. Mm-hmm. We think we know what somebody needs. And usually we don't even know what we need, much less what somebody else needs, to be honest with you. So what we need to do is just put it before the Lord and even confess when we find ourselves in places of confusion and let Him begin to direct our paths, you know.
That's good. Yeah, we can't be Frank Sinatra and do it our way.
I was
right?
trying to say it.
Anybody else? Not very talkative today. Come on. Okay, the word narrow says to the root, says to break in pieces, shatter, smite through, wound, bruise. That's a hard
way.
One,
huh? And that's the way. Narrow is the way. Ouch.
Yep. But I got great news. Okay, that's not really even bad news because guess what? When you see the really, really good news, all that other stuff is like when Jesus saw the joy that was set before Him. You can get through this other stuff. It's nothing. You just flick it off your shoulder, you know. In Hosea 6, the Amplified. Could you read that loudly, please? Hosea 6. Read 6. Let's see. I think it's 1 through 3. Yeah, 1 through 3.
In the year that King Uzziah died.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Hosea 6?
Oh, you said Hosea. I looked at Isaiah. I'm sorry. Hosea. Oh, wait a minute.
Hosea. Sorry to put you on the spot. You want me to go ahead?
It is. I got it.
You got it?
Amen.
I just like hearing you read.
Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us.
Yes.
He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After the 2 days will He revive us, and in the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain, onto the earth.
That's it.
Oh, right.
Thank
there.
You.
All right.
Was that Amplified?
Oh, no.
That's
not.
Okay. I'm glad you read that.
Wait, I've got Amplified here.
Let me read it.
You got it.
That was good, though. Amplified says, come, let us return to the Lord, for He is torn so that He may heal us. He has stricken us so that He may bind us up. Now, think about that. He's done this so that He can do this. You get that picture?
Yes.
After 2 days, He's going to revive us. So it's going to just be a short period of time, you know. Mm-hmm. He will revive us. The Amplified says, quicken us, give us life. Woohoo!
Yes.
On the third day, He will raise us up that we may live before Him.
Yes,
let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand Him. That's what we've been saying. Let's know who we're trusting. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, to give heed to cherish Him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. Woohoo!
Yes.
That's shouting stuff
there.
And He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. We're going to water the earth, folks. I'm telling you. That's the exciting thing. Now can you have joy when you go through all this stuff? Just like Jesus. He saw the beginning from the end. And He saw He began with the end in mind. There's a Stephen Covey did this thing, seven habits of effective people, and one of them was begin with the end in mind. Well, we know the end, so as Christians, we should look, keep looking, keep our eyes on the end, which is Jesus, and Him becoming all in all, and then we go from there. And we know that all this other stuff is just temporary. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, "In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which His boundless might provides." His boundless might. That's, we have access to that. Wow. Our might is bounded, really, isn't it? It says, "Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the depotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit." You know, you can go through all that. The bottom line is us. You know, flesh. Wherever you want to call it, on the whole verse 12 is flesh. "Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day, on the danger days, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing." So anyway, stand is yeah, with God. "And then having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, promptness, and readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of peace." And then the last verse I'm going to read on that is to lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. And then 18 says, "Pray all the time, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people." Mm-hmm. There you go. Anybody have any comments on that? It's a mouthful, but it all fits. Good. There's only two men, right? There's Adam and Jesus. I mean, really, there's just two men. You know, you struggle if you're listening to Adam. If Adam's taken over, then guess what? You're going to struggle. You're going to be, you know, in confusion. You're going to be in Babylon. You're going to, you know, all the things we've been talking about. But if you submit to Jesus, His yoke is easy. His burden is light, because He's already completed the work in you. It's already been completed. So get yoke up with Him. You know, when they yoke up two oxen or whatever, the one's the dominant and the other one follows along. So yoke up with Jesus. He's the dominant. He's carrying most of the weight or whatever. And if we just realize that, then, you know, all we're doing is wherever He goes, we go.
Oh, praise God. You know, I like what you said, Rich, about the two men in the earth. You know, the first Adam was of the earth, earthly. He was a soulish man. And we've all bore that image at one time or another, and we still sometimes bear that image more than we should. The last Adam, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, was the Lord from heaven. And as we bore the image of the first Adam, now we have to begin to bear the image of the last Adam. And that scripture you read in Hosea, it says, talks in, when you read it out of the King James, it says, and we shall live in His sight, And the word there for sight is the word face. We shall live in his face. And you know, Lord gave me a sermon on that one time years ago. My sister, when she was still with us, her little grandson used to sleep with her a lot. He was real little. And she said she would wake up in the morning sometimes, and his nose would be right against her nose, his forehead would be right against her forehead. He'd be right in her face, you know. And she said it would actually almost startle her when she'd open her eyes, because he'd be just right up, right in her face. Well, that was because he felt secure there. But when we get in the face of Jesus, then when we see him as he is, we're going to be just like him. We begin to be changed from glory to glory into that very same image. You know, I've shared this before. Preston Eby said one time when he was here, and Preston Eby wasn't a real charismatic looking guy. I mean, he was kind of a shorter guy, bald head, and he had a beard, you know. And he'd say, I get up in the morning, he said, I go and I look in the mirror, and he said, when I'm looking in the mirror, I say, Evie, you're a son of God. You don't look like a son of God, but you're a son of God. Because our concept of what we think God looks like.
Yeah.
I got news for you, what he looks like. You know, when Jesus was resurrected, he walked with them, and they didn't know him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when he was on the shore, they didn't know him. And what he was really telling them in that aspect was, I can appear any way I want, but it's all me. And you know, we have to learn to see him as he is. And when we start seeing him in each other, in our brothers and our sisters, then we're going to have to love our brothers and our sisters, because, you know, it's him, you know. But anyway, you know, we have to realize, and the first Adam was of the earthly. He was made a soulish man. It does not say he was made a spiritual man. And a lot of people like to put that out there, that Adam was perfect, and he was perfect in all of his ways, but he was perfect in innocence.
Yes.
And the last Adam caused us to be perfect in grace. Our perfection is only by the grace of God and by what he accomplished on Calvary. And when we realize that, then we can, when Jesus said to his disciples, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now that sounded like a pretty tough commandment when he tells you, be ye perfect. But when you realize that the perfection that you have is only through the grace of God and what he accomplished on Calvary, I will tell you this, not only be you perfect, you are perfect.
Yes.
Because of what he did, not because of what you do. And we have to walk in the perfection of who and what he is, not in who and what we used to be.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, we still have that situation of mistaken identity. Mm-hmm. We want to identify with the old man. And I used to like what Benny Skinner used to say. He said, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ. Now, the life I live by the faith of the Son of God. And he basically would say, your old man is dead. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. But what are you going to do? You're going to take your old man, pull him up on your back, and haul him around with you everywhere you go? He's dead.
Buried.
Begin to confess him as being dead. Begin to confess yourself as being in Christ. We'll never have the mind of Christ totally until we believe we have the mind of Christ. The Word declares that we have it, but we don't function in it a lot of times because we don't tell ourselves that we don't have it. And you know, I mean, I know that sounds kind of deep when you talk to people about having the mind of Christ, but I got news for you. When you confess that you have the mind of Christ and you think on whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things be, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, all these different things it tells us to do in the Scripture, when we begin to put the other thoughts out of our mind and put those thoughts in our mind, then you have the mind of Christ. And the decisions that you make based from that will be godly decisions. They won't be selfish decisions. And, you know, but we have to start believing that we have the mind of Christ. And if we don't believe we have it, you won't have it. You'll function in the natural mind. You know. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, only two men, Adam and Jesus, for as in Adam, how many die?
All.
Even so in Christ shall how many?
All
be made alive. In Christ, that word, those two words, in Christ. So here's your choice. If you want Adam, then it's death. Christ alive. In every test, trial, or every tribulation you're ever facing or will face, whatever, just choose life. Just choose Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he?
New creation.
That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. In Christ. Now here's some really good news. The veil is done away in Christ. Woohoo! Okay, so we're gonna end this right here. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. What does that mean to you? Do I lift up my soul? What is lifting up your soul? What does that mean? I think we've pretty much covered it all, but what's it mean to you? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. You know, the scripture we've been going over is, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. So that song, Unto Thee, I love where it says, do I lift up my soul? Where they added that in the song, it's not in the scripture. It just adds that in there because if you're lifting up your soul to the Lord, guess what? There's a lot of benefits come with that. A lot of promises you can claim. And you know, we're not the name it and claim it bunch, but there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, Lord, this is your word. I didn't write it. This is your word. These are your promises. These are your benefits. So how do we lift up our soul? That's how we're going to end. Anybody have any comments on that?
Well, the way I feel like we lift up our soul is by praising Him,
yes,
by acknowledging Him in all of our ways, by what it says in the Amplified in Ephesians where it talks about marriage, where he said, and I speak concerning Christ and the church. And I love what it says in the Amplified, let the wife, and this is talking about the soulish person in each one of us,
female.
The female part, and we all have that. The soul is a psuche. I mean, even the name, the play on words, God was, he knew it was going to be psuche, soul. And that's a feminine, that's a psuche. That's two girls' names. And that's in each one of us. And when we lift up our soul unto Him, what we're really doing is we're coming in subjection to His Spirit. We're acknowledging Him, we're noticing Him, we're deferring to Him, we're honoring Him, we're praising Him, we're doing all these things in every situation and every circumstance. Then what happens is His headship so covers us that He begins to give us the same authority that He has. And the reason that sometimes we don't have authority in situations and circumstances is because we're not always in subjection to that, see? We're trying to get it done our way, the way we want to do it, rather than saying, Lord, what's your way?
Yes.
Teach me thy ways, show me thy paths. And when we ask Him to do that, then He comes in like a flood. And a lot of times you'll do something entirely different than what you would have done in a situation. Entirely different.
Yep.
And, you know, we need to lift up our soul. And when we do that, He becomes the head. He becomes the husband. And the mind of Christ will function in you. It will. It absolutely will. And Like I say, you'll find yourself doing things that sometimes to you will seem so foolish. And in the natural, you think, whoa, what am I doing here? But spiritually, you'll be doing exactly what God wants you to do. You know?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But you can't do a lot of these things without the Spirit of God causing you to do them. You know? But anyway.
Kathy?
Anybody else?
You want to pray?
Sure.
Did anybody else have anything they wanted to say? You sure?
It's beautiful.
I'm sorry I talked too much, but
no,
it was just, he just kept
took it in. He did good.
He just kept giving it, and it was good. Like I had to get it out.
Father, we thank you for this blessing we have together. We just love the flowing of the Spirit that comes to us as we sit here and just think about you and talk about you, Father. It is truly food. It's bread for us. And Father, as we go forth into the service, bless the service, bless the speaker, bless this glorious day. Help us, Father, to lift up our soul, to surrender, surrender and accept you as Master, you as Savior, you as our Lord, Father, and to give up our own work and just surrender to your loving kindness and our Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.